Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Yeah, no, we're recording.
Yeah, we're just, on. Yeah.
Wait, if you
just you want me to actually down. Set it down yes. before we go. Okay. And
on three,
two, one, action. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Slam Fire Radio. And this week, the episode goes all the way to 11.
That's right. Episode 11 for June 25th.
June 25th?
Yeah, yes. June 25th. So, we're all here together in the same room. It's, for Latte and the LARPing Warrior. I mean, the Prepping Warrior.
Sure.
Close enough. And of course, the Warning Shot somewhere around here. But we've got a special guest tonight.
Yeah, he's special.
He's short bus special all the way from down the street from Owen's house.
See, if you do that, put it down and leave it there.
I was going to kind of point it at him so that he can
change it on this to leave it.
Oh my goodness. He doesn't even edit the show and he's...
No, that's right.
He doesn't... Yeah.
But he knows it all.
He does, yeah.
It's not helping.
Yeah. David, welcome to the show. It's David Harris, correct?
It is.
Do you mind if I use your last name?
Anything at all.
That's good because I already did and I'm not editing anything. So tell us about yourself.
What can I say?
Oh man, you are a man of few words, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. Maybe, how long have you been shooting?
Shooting since I could walk.
Okay.
Grew up with it. Dad has always been a hunter. Took me hunting as a kid. Never quiet enough in the woods for him, but, great experience.
I have that problem with Trevor. He's like, shut up. I'm like, what? This is interesting.
Automotive technician.
Cool.
By trade.
Oh, yeah, you were the guy that Owen was going to have on his show about cars and stuff that he never did.
But I can't do my homework, so he won't have me.
Got you. Very cool. So how long have you been, I don't know, shooting handguns, I
handguns?
Guess.
Yeah. About a year.
About a year. Because I knew that was something new for you, and I just, yeah. So what got you into handguns?
Owen.
Was it Owen?
I would think so.
No?
Was it?
No, I don't believe it was.
Oh, all right. Well, tell the story.
Basically, decided I wanted to shoot a handgun.
You are such a storyteller. It's amazing. You captivate me and draw me right in. It's like I'm there.
It's like listening to the Forrest Gump over here. I just wanted to shoot a handgun.
It's a joke.
I just wanted to shoot a handgun, so I did. And that's all I have to say about that.
Mama's as stupid is, as stupid does, whatever it
is. Oh, no, we're not calling awful. You stupid, David.
It's okay. I can take it.
Yes, you can because you've got a handgun in your hand. So what is it that you have there?
Glock.
Uh-huh.
Glock 34.
Cool. For the listeners that don't know, that is a...
9mm.
Uh-huh. And you, what do you do with it? I know you shoot it, but, you know, why'd you get it?
IPSC.
Yeah. And how long you been doing IPSC for?
Again, about a year.
So they kind of went together, this whole...
You helped teach him his black badge.
Yes. The listeners didn't.
They didn't.
Man. Getting the fifth... No, what's that called?
Degree.
Third degree.
Dave and I have a great time working. We're both Woodstock Club, of course, for the listeners' information. And so we're both ROs. We're both running matches.
There's a match coming up this weekend, isn't there?
A match coming up this weekend, so him and I are kind of partners in crime, so to speak.
That reminds me, we need to go through the stages.
We need to go through the stages at some point, because you have to criticize them, so.
Yeah, tell you everything you did wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. So how are you liking handgun shooting in IPSC so far?
Love it.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Very good.
Some would say it's more a competitive line, but I enjoy it.
So... You have a Glock 34, which is a 9mm, which is not allowed in production class, so you shoot standard minor.
Correct. Correct.
How are you doing with that?
Not so good. If they were all A's, we'd be all set.
Well, that's exactly it.
After we're done with that trigger tonight, more of them will be.
Hopefully.
Duty. So did you get that with that intention of shooting standard minor, or did you just like the gun and decided that whatever class you ended up in, you ended up in?
I like the gun because of a longer sight radius,
uh-huh.
but still in 9.
Right.
The goal was 9, mm-hmm. not 40. Being a new shooter, I need to learn to run the gun before I up the ante with more recoil.
I learned on a 40.
Did you? You're a bigger man than I am.
In more ways than one.
You just call me fat.
Is that a fat joke?
Not at all.
So if you...
You had an M&P before, so you already were set up to reload 9 and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. This isn't your first handgun then?
No, second.
Oh, so do you also, you still have the M&P, or did you sell that
I sold that.
So
you did.
Not to get this.
You sold that recently, then?
Yes.
Yeah.
You ran the M&P at the Black Badge in Woodstock.
I did.
No.
No.
No?
I had.
No, you ran the 35.
34.
34.
Or 34. Yeah.
Oh, so why did you sell the M&P?
I didn't figure I needed two guns to do the same job.
Yeah, but the M&P
would Don't tell them what you bought. Don't tell them what you bought.
Tell us what you bought.
I bought it before.
Yeah, but I thought you sold the M&P to pay for it.
No, it just happened to work out
okay.
that way.
Okay.
What'd you buy?
It was a cheap 45.
Oh, you did it! You did it!
Yes.
One of those Norinco ones
yeah.
that has that rhymes with blind teen blublevin.
Get out of my house.
I enjoy shooting that gun. I can shoot it very well.
Oh, he can shoot it. I really, ate
better
really
than
well.
This.
Brian, that's for you. That's all we got. That's the only 1911 talk we're talking about.
He bought a 1911. That's bad enough. But he bought a Norinco 1911.
It shoots very well.
I've owned
a bunch of people who have them. They're nice guns.
I've owned several Norincos.
They're not nice guns.
They're not nice looking.
They
no.
shoot well.
I've stripped one and to compare it to other 1911s that I've handled. And I mean, yeah. They're made by in a Chinese sweatshop by 12-year-olds or something.
If they
like.
Shoot really well.
So 2 doors down from opinion, Nike, is it?
If it shoots really well, it's a nice gun. Because that's all it matters.
Adidas, not Nike.
Oh, Adidas, sorry. My bad.
It's upgraded in many ways, Trevor.
Because you don't have like the GI model. You have...
It's not the
You have the Commander model?
The officer size?
The shorter barrel?
5-inch, no.
Oh, it is a 5-inch.
There's something special about it, isn't there?
It's an A1. It's
yeah. Is that the one that doesn't say China
it's
on it?
It's a Norinco.
It's still a Norinco.
No,
there is a Norinco out there now that does not say made in China, and it's intentionally for the guys who don't want to advertise it. They don't buy Chinese.
Wow. All right. So things were going so well, right?
Right up until 1911 happened.
Going so well.
Episode 11.
It's true. It is episode 11. We should get some more 1911. Trevor's staring at me with that kind of murderous glare. Well,
just to kind of round it all out.
Can I see your Glock knife?
No, get away from him.
Another friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, John Harris, he was at the Black Badge. He bought an M&P 9, his first semi-auto handgun ever. He's been a handgun for years.
Yeah, but he's single action cowboy.
Yeah, right? That's exactly. He bought one of these Norinco 1911s from Canada Ammo with the 1,000 rounds of ammo because it was a good deal.
Yeah.
Likes it so much, and the ammo is such a good deal, he went and bought another one just for the ammo.
Stole
he's
the gun and
gun too, so now he's going to have two.
Wow. What's worse than one Norinco 1911?
Two Norinco 1911s.
Awesome. Well, then, all right. Well, how about we move into what we did this week with guns?
I guess we could do that.
You want to go first?
I don't remember what I did.
All right.
I went to the range.
She should go first.
What's that? Yeah, that's David. What did you do with guns this week, man?
With guns.
Or reloading or whatever.
I was to the range a few times. Twice, precisely, this week.
So a couple of times, then, to be precise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Approximately.
Approximately.
If you carry the one.
Okay. Carried by one.
So what did you do with the range?
I did a little shotgun shooting.
Oh, shotgun's fun. What do you have for a shotgun?
I bought a Savage Model 320.
Okay.
It's an 18.5-inch barrel.
It's a nice gun.
Very fun gun to run.
Is that the kind of security style kind of
it
gun?
Is. Yes.
It doesn't have the sights on it, though. Just the front
just
the front
bead.
Yeah.
Savage?
Yeah.
No, Stevens.
Stevens, yeah.
Stevens, oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, made by Savage, but...
Not yes. accepted. You bought a Noriko. What? He apologized. I didn't accept because he bought a Noriko.
He's still... Trevor's still...
I'm not going to do a trigger job in your Glock.
I may as well go home.
Pretty much.
You'd be careful. Next time, I'm going to bring up a 1911s.
Not won't let him in.
Trevor,
sorry, David.
You have a 1911, Trevor.
Not a Noriko.
So you're shotgunning. What did you do shotgunning wise?
Run a few slugs through it. Improved cylinder. Not great.
So it comes with an improved cylinder?
It does.
It's
fixed choke.
A fixed choke but improved cylinder. Well, that's better than straight cylinder.
What's the difference?
It's tighter. It's like halfway between modified and open.
Okay. I think modified would have did me a lot better, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit.
For close range, it works very well with double-aught buck.
Yeah.
Slugs at 25 meters shoots very accurately.
Good.
With a bead front sight.
Yeah. It's amazing how accurate you can be with slugs with just a bead.
Yeah. And that was basically it. A little bit of skeet with it just for fun.
That's always fun. I love shooting clays with short barrel shotguns. Right. The KSG's especially fun. you ever shot clays with that yet, Owen? Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting.
You know how it shoots because it doesn't shoot like a normal shotgun. You can't just use form to put the gun on target.
No, you have...
You have to know how that gun works with two sights in order to shoot it with one sight.
Yeah. Yeah, because you broke your rear sight? Is that what happened?
Rear sight broke. Yeah. We couldn't hit anything with it with slugs. I had it at the range this past week as well.
And yeah.
With one single front sight, we were like feet off the target. Couldn't even get close.
That's funny.
With no rear sight because it doesn't shoulder like a normal shotgun.
Jason had a set of sights. Oh, never mind. They melted.
Never mind. They melted. Burn.
We are awful people.
We are. You guys are. Sorry.
Anything else, Dave?
That was it for shotgun. Worked on some fundamentals with a Glock 34. Straight stand and deliver. 300 rounds. Improved my game a little.
Good. Trigger time's always a good time.
Trigger time was the issue.
Because when you get your MMP, you put like
3,500 rounds through that gun.
Wow.
The first year. So.
That's a lot of rounds.
Where I was with this after 200 rounds.
Well, I mean, a lot of those, some of the muscle memory and stuff would have transferred over.
For sure.
I mean, you know, you're just learning a new gun. I mean, I'm running Trevor's Glock 17 this weekend, and I can tell you right off the bat, it shoots differently from my SR9. This afternoon at the range, it was...
Evident.
Yeah, it was evident, you know, so, you know, it's going to take me some time to get used to it. Now, that being said, if I just slow down and get a good sight picture and press a trigger like I'm supposed to do, you know, the fundamentals, the bullets hit exactly where they're supposed to, but my body doesn't want to be in that position because the grip on my SR9 is slightly different, so I have to force my body to adapt to the new grip and whatnot, so, but, yeah, no, the fundamentals do transfer over.
How far was that shot you took on that berm today?
I don't know how long it was. It was a long ways.
You think he was 200 from there?
It's pretty close.
200 yards?
Oh, yeah.
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 That was minute of man all day long. So, for the listeners, I was showing the guys the new expansion at the Rescuish Gun Club. We expanded the range. We were at the back of the range. And Matthew sees this dark spot that looks like a rock.
It was a rock. I always shoot at rocks.
It wasn't a rock.
It was a clump of dirt.
So, so Owen estimates it at about 200 yards.
It might have been like 180, but it was...
Approximately. Yeah. It was definitely more than 150.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, see that clump on the berm? We're all like, yeah. And you took my Glock 17 and you were within a foot from it.
First shot.
Yeah, I think my elevation was good. I was slightly to the left.
Your elevation was absolutely perfect. You were just slightly to the left.
Yeah.
And then I tried to keep up with you with my Glock 22, and it was embarrassing.
Yeah, he basically took his ball and went home.
Yeah. And by ball, I mean my Glock. Give me my 17 back. Yeah, that was an incredible shot.
But that's just, you know, fundamentals. And yeah. I've shot at that, well, not quite that far, but I kind of know the trajectory of a
of a 9mm, and I just kind of aimed off where I thought I would need to aim. And
first shot I took, I aimed right at it. Like 4 feet low?
At least, yeah.
But Trevor, I don't think it was necessarily your shooting that was the issue as much as, I think, maybe your loads just don't work out that far. I mean,
that's true too, yeah.
You know, there's always those sorts of issues. Just because it works at 50 and less doesn't mean it's going to work.
Yeah.
Windage was good with Trevor's first shot.
Yeah.
And it was elevation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's holding the gun upside down now. Yeah, let's do some of that tomorrow. Let's do some trick shots.
Okay.
Okay, you go first.
Cool. Any other things this week with guns, Dave?
Little brass prep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Rifle or pistol?
223.
I hate 223 breath prep. It is endless. It's like dealing with hardwood. You burn hardwood?
Yes.
You go cut down the tree. By the time that tree becomes a block of hardwood for the stove, you've touched it at least 7 times.
Minimum 6 cords a year.
Man. And brass prep.
That's what I burn too.
It's the fuel that heats 3 times.
223 brass prep is like that. It's like, I'm sure you must handle it 4 or 5 times before you actually get to shoot it again.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, what you do a lot of extra steps that you don't need to do.
Cleaning, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
CDO.
CDO, huh? Because
the letters are
dyslexic. Yeah.
Alphabetical. No, because the letters are alphabetical the way they should be.
Oh, and what did you do this week in guns?
Well, what did I do? Well, I took someone to the range on Saturday.
Oh. Like a new person?
No, not really. I'll give him a shout out though. I don't think he listens, but Jonathan Cowan. He is actually, originally from BC, did not grow up with guns, moved to Georgia, promptly fell in love with guns and hunting.
Imagine.
And he now lives in St. Louis. Hasn't shot at guns in probably 4 years. Kind of when he moved to St. Louis, for various reasons, he kind of had to get out of them and sold them and different things. So yeah, he's been up here for a month, preaching at our church actually. And I said, hey, we should go to the range sometime when we're up here. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to. So Saturday, this is his last week here. So Saturday we went to the range and brought up my AR and KSG and Glock and 1911 and all kinds of different things and GSG 1911, 22.
Okay, this one.
Wasn't a Norinco, Trev, it's okay.
Shotgun, I brought my hunting shotgun. We just brought a whole pile of stuff and we shot at different ranges and played around and, yeah.
Neat.
That was about it.
Well, that's good. So yeah. It was good.
So he thoroughly enjoyed it. He never shot an AR before. He's lived in the States 15 years and never shot an AR. I was quite surprised.
Well, it is entirely possible that some Americans live their entire life without shooting an AR.
Yeah.
And it's not saying it's right.
Yeah.
It happens, though. It just is. It's one of those things that happens.
The mysteries of life.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, he had a good time, and I had a good time. That was pretty much it.
Good times had by all.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you remember yet what you did? Or?
Yeah, a little bit.
You want to go over or you want me to go over?
I guess I didn't really do it. I went to the range.
Trevor's always last.
Because he takes the longest, and if
so
he
why
goes,
don't we put him first and then we can go get some done and then we'll come back and
now we have to edit it.
I gotta edit. I'm never gonna remember. I'm not editing that because I'm not gonna remember where it was. I have to.
I gotta look at the recording and see what we're at here. 18, alright, 1835. Got it.
I don't understand why we gotta edit that.
Because we listener to 9X. 9X doesn't need to hear that. crap.
Okay.
All right.
We've discussed this.
All right. Yes.
If I can't say, you guys can't say.
Oh my goodness. All right.
You want to do a 1, 2, 3 and we'll.
No, we're good. We're good. I'm just going to bleep it like I normally do. Did you want to swear before we get going there, David?
No, I'm good.
We all have now, so if
I
you want
swear,
to.
We're just cussing. We haven't swore yet.
Yeah, it's just inappropriate language for youngsters. Okay, so I went to the range with my AR. This would be the listener-donated AR from Canadian Reload Radio. And It shoots Minute of Moon. Basically. Minute of Moon. Yeah. I have had it out a couple of times before, and I just hadn't really sat down and really tried to wring the accuracy out of it. And
somebody already rang all the accuracy
out
of it.
I think somebody may have rang the accuracy out of it already. Anyway, it's shooting at, now, these are all at 50 yards, so you make sure you double these numbers for, you know, your MOA, because at 100 it would be twice as big, right? With just factory 55 grain ammo, is about a 6-inch group at 50 yards. That's that Norinco stuff I've been shooting. So that's 55 grain, and it's a 1 in 7 twist barrel, so I'm like, oh, maybe it just needs heavier projectile. So I went to the store and bought some 69 grain, hunting ammo. And put that through it, and I, you know, it shrunk my group considerably. I got her down to 4 inches at 50 yards. You know, that wasn't bad. So I did some hand loads. I loaded up my own ammo, and I got it down to about 2 inches at 50 yards. So that's 4 MOA. That's dismal at best.
Those were 55 grain.
Those were back to 55 grain hand loads. That's all I had. But that being said, those same projectiles through my axis basically go through the same hole at 50 yards.
So, yeah, you can't compare the two. No. We should actually look at the target that I shot today at 50, just as my EOTech, and see what that was. Because, I mean, it was...
You're going to have to say something here in a minute, because this is an audio podcast.
Yeah. Well, it was probably 2-ish.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, on Saturday... at 50 with that or same Norinco ammo that he was using and you use, I had a 1/2-inch three-shot group.
Yeah, I hate you.
Nice.
I wasn't even aiming.
I just put on the center of the IPSC target.
There wasn't something to aim at.
You were just aiming at it. Aiming for the center of the target and put three shots there.
Yeah, you know, 2 inches at 50 yards, you know, it isn't horrible. I mean, if that's what I got with the cheap Norinco ammo, I would actually be happy with that. That'd be okay, because I can use that Nipsic all day long, no problem, because you don't shoot past 50 yards. But for me to have to hand load all the shots for an AR, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to precision load for a non-precision rifle.
I tried that and I gave up.
You know, I want bulk ammo to run through this thing properly, mm-hmm. so... You know, maybe it's a new barrel I need. Maybe, I don't know. But
there's general purpose air ammo and there's match air ammo. And we're not shooting service conditions and we're not stretching them up to 300 or 500.
Exactly. All they need to do is hit the A zone out to 50 yards.
Well, you say that, but there was 100-yard shots in this last match over that.
Yeah, see, there you go. So I'm out. I'll bring my axis for that part. Can I run this with an axis? Bolt action? Yeah, why not? Oh, hey, speaking of bolt actions, you guys see that new AK-47 that's Canadian legal? Yep, it's a bolt action.
Seriously?
There was a bunch of hype on CGN about this new Canadian legal AK-47 coming to market. And it finally came to market. And it's a straight pull. It's bolt action AK-47 lookalike. Yeah, people are not happy.
Well, it's what England has for ARs.
That's what they have for ARs, yeah. Well, they've got a cool one, actually, where every shot the bolt locks back, and all they got to do is release the bolt, and they can shoot again. So that's the closest they've got to semi-auto, which isn't bad.
They can have a 100-round drum and a silencer, but they can't have a semi-auto.
That's right. Very silly.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But anyway. That was pretty much what I did at the range. I did get out a couple of other times just playing around 22s and pellet guns and stuff, but that's... not terribly interesting. So let's move on to Trevor and see what he did this week. Because I know he did a match or something.
I did 2 matches.
Yeah.
I went to Fredericton for the, I don't know what number it is, but it's an annual George McGillivray memorial match.
Okay.
And it's named after George McGillivray, who was a big proponent
really?
Of...
Really? It was named after him? He hates us right now.
Yeah, I know.
A big proponent of?
Of 3-gun. And help get 3-gun going in the province. And, you know, it's come and gone. It goes in phases throughout the years.
Right.
For a while, you know, even IPSC kind of falls away and then comes back. But as we know, everything is growing now and popular. The last 2 matches in Restigouche, we ran out of score sheets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah,
so anyway, it was a life sucks match. I don't want to hear about it. You know, whatever you brought is what you're, don't do that.
Sorry.
Is what you're going to use kind of thing. So, I had taken, put all my optics on my guns and I was like, whatever category that puts me in, so be it. This is how I want to run my guns, so I'm going to leave them this way. Two nights before the match, I took all my optics off. So now I'm not going to go into open, you know, I'll keep all my guns in the standard division. I get down there and they're like, no, there's only one category, three guns, whatever
you want. So you didn't bring your optics with you to put them back on. No, that would be silly. The guy who hauls his own mattress around. I better bring the kitchen sink because that guy's might not work. You know, let's put in the range bag. It'll fit. But I'm not going to bring my EOTech. That'd be silly. That weighs too much.
You're making fun of somebody who wants to be prepared?
Yeah, but you clearly weren't.
Yeah, in this case. I was prepared for other things that didn't happen.
I didn't do the dishes, but I had the sink just in case.
That's right. So, anyway, that being said, there were 8-ish stages. There's one stage that was really neat. Stephen Stewart, the match director down there, has this electronic scoring system. You shoot at the targets, and there's some electronic box down there right next to the, right next to the targets. And he's back there in the shoot house with a monitor, a laptop or whatever, and it shows you where your rounds hit. So you don't have to go down and score, you don't have to go down and patch. So you're standing back. We all zeroed our rifles on it that morning before we started. So you shoot a shot. You look at the laptop. Oh, Charlie to the left. Dial a little windage. Oh, alpha. It all happens electronically. You haven't seen that system
yet. I haven't. No, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's the second time I've been down there when he was using it. So we actually ran a stage and used this system.
Oh, cool.
To score. He was back in the house scoring them as we were shooting them. It was, I forget how many rounds it was. Anyway, I had my Beowulf mags, which was nice because these guys were doing mag changes all over the place. I did one, right? Yeah, so it was a run-up. You went various positions, shooting one round on each of the three targets. You started off, they were 100 meters away, and then you ran up. So you ran, you took three off of this one bench, one, two, three. Then you ran up to a barricade. You had to take three, one on each target, from the left side of the barricade, then from the right side, then another spot, then another spot. That was the first stage. The second stage was the same. No, the second stage, you backed up to the second last shooting position. You shot your rifle at the three targets at the end, and then you transitioned to your pistol and shot three paper targets. If you were going to put your rifle down, it had to be cleared and verified by the arrow before you sat it down.
Right.
If you wanted to sit it down, right?
Right.
I just held it in my weak hand, drew my pistol, and shot the targets with my strong hand.
Nice.
And didn't bother clearing the gun or having to put the gun down, so I saved like 2-3 seconds.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah.
So how'd you do?
Overall in the match, I finished 4th.
Okay.
I won one rifle stage and mag changes saved me a bunch of time.
Yeah.
It's called 5 trees. You were underneath a covered firing point. There were 5 posts and you had 3 targets and you had to shoot, one round at each target from each of the 5 shooting positions.
Right.
So I only did one mag change.
Exactly.
And that's cool. My center target had all alpha.
Nice.
Yeah. So, it was rough cause I had irons, right? And I mean,
yeah.
I never shoot irons. So I shot the match with my irons and...
So you'd have done better if you had brought your EOTech then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have finished 4th, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, for next time.
Yeah. No, well, like I said, I'll go back to what I said. I'll set my guns up the way I want them set up. I'll learn to run them that way and whatever...
Whatever you end up in.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So then the next day, we had a level 2 match here in Frederick, here in Restigouche.
Did you go home early because it rained again?
No, I put in an exceptionally long day. Because the classifiers were still set up.
Oh, yeah.
So people from out of town that want to shoot classifiers.
They were shooting them.
And guess who RO'd them? So I shot my match and I stayed behind to RO the guys.
Right.
And I was happy to do it. The match was good. We had, the match was good. There was a lot of challenges. There were some awkwardly written stage descriptions and stage procedures.
Right.
Some questionable start positions. And it was one of those matches where you never started with a freaking loaded gun. You never started with all your mags. There's a lot of that craziness.
A lot of running around, grabbing stuff.
Yeah, and I don't like those matches. I don't like those stages.
Yeah, because in real life, when do you put your mag somewhere else? Or when do you leave your gun? I mean,
that's right.
I guess if we could do a Canadian one, a Canadian stage where you start with your gun locked in a safe and your ammo in the other room in another safe.
We will have a stage with my Fort Knox safe in it.
That'll be funny.
Yeah, but anyway... so that was challenging, but, I finished first and Harold was second
and that's all that matters.
No. I'm excited to say the guy that I'm coaching finished third.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So he's doing really, really well. And he's been texting me all night about going to Woodstock.
Oh, cool. He can just stay home.
He's standard, remember?
Oh, great. He can come.
Yeah.
Great. Now I got second place.
I might get third place if I get first. It'll be me, Remy, and then you. You won't even know what to do with that thing when I'm done with it. ADs all over the place.
I hope not.
So yeah, that's it. There's some other stuff or whatever. Like, we played at the range today, the three of us, but those are the highlights. Shot a couple matches.
Good.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So why don't we jump right into our topic? We're doing this a little different this week. We don't have our show notes in front of us. Not that we would bother with them anyway.
Kind of
make stuff up as we go, right? But
so I was in the other room. Actually, I was in this room. You guys were in the other room.
Yeah, you were talking to your boss.
Sure. And you guys decided again what the topic was without me. So what's the topic?
So he doesn't know.
I don't know what it is.
It's what would you carry in a survival situation, a without rule of law situation, zombies, civil unrest, whatever.
With the exception of my plate carrier, which I didn't bring.
Yeah,
I'm wearing it.
All right, so
I got my Glock knife in my hand, and my Glock 17 on my belt, and my AR.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there.
Now tell us why.
Show over.
So for you.
Show over. The end. Thanks for listening, guys.
So no matter what the situation would be, zombies, civil unrest, whatever, if you could only bug out with one gun, that's it right there.
Yeah, one gun. Bring her down one.
One gun.
Your Glock or your AR?
Is zombie apocalypse?
Well, let's start with zombie apocalypse. And by that we mean, you know, civil unrest without rule of law kind of situation. Oh. Not actual zombies, because we all know they don't really exist.
Yet. I'm working on it.
Yes.
I've got this T-virus thing that I've been... Never mind.
All right.
You know too much.
Oh, no. Not again.
So, okay. Zombie apocalypse.
Again? You must be a zombie.
So, yeah. Civil unrest or without rule of law situation where, you know, say the economy is completely collapsed. There's no more economy. There's no more buying and selling stuff. There's just kind of... People are out kind of running around and just...
Rioting, looting.
Yeah.
Based on my situation, it's going to be the AR.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pros and cons to all of them. If a pistol is far more concealable, you're able to move in and out with people and still be armed. Probably not going to do that with the AR very easily. It's going to cause a little bit... You're going to draw a lot more attention.
Right. Well, maybe it's the type of situation where it doesn't matter.
Well, and that may be the case too.
But in this situation, I think it's less rioting and more just no government around. There's just nobody there to police us.
I still think there's a lot of application for concealed carry in that situation. Having said that, like I said, where I am, which is in the country, the AR is going to be it. It's going to be the AR or it's going to be some sort of hunting rifle.
Yeah, I would say in the country, you're probably right. A long arm is probably the best way to go. Yeah. Now, that being said, realistically, nobody's going to actually be limited to one gun. I mean, who's going to throw out all their guns and just have one?
The game is one gun.
Yeah.
Don't change the rules.
It's an interesting game, but, I mean, for Owen, you know, in Owen's case, he's a little bit different where he's not leaving his house. He's staying there, so he has his full arsenal.
This is Canada, and it's make pretend believe. So we're pretending that you can only have one gun.
All right. Just trying to keep it a bit real for the listeners.
Well, if you want to learn something. Three, and for a lot of obvious reasons why you have the AR is the fact that you can carry lots of ammo. You know, it's relatively light. It's going to do, for most places, at least in the Maritimes, it's going to do as much range as you need it to do, a couple hundred yards. You know, there's not too many places that you're going to be taking shots longer than that. even if you physically can, we've talked about all this on the Warriors Ethos. Are you going to want to shoot someone at 500 yards? Probably not, because you don't know that...
You hit them right in the fupa.
Yeah, you don't need to know if you need to be shooting them at 500 yards. Really, they're not a threat at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, a long gun is going to be my choice, and probably the AR, because it's the most convenient for me.
So you got capacity.
Yeah.
And you got a fair amount of range.
Yep.
Decent amount of knockdown power.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
So let's just stay on that one scenario and go around the room, and then we'll move to a new scenario and see if the guns change. Go ahead, Trev. What would you pick? In your situation, you live kind of out in the country as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for now, you might be living in town.
This is the civil unrest,
kind of the police and government just simply don't really exist. Okay. It kind of collapsed. Yeah.
If I can only have one gun?
Yeah.
It's a shotgun. It's a shotgun. Because it's multiple guns in one.
Yeah.
Just shotgun with all the various types of ammo. I can get some slugs and I can zero them to 7,500 yards even. All right. I can have some buckshot, some SSGs for bigger threats up close, and birdshot for hunting. It's slugs for hunting too, right? It's, the ammo is heavier. And it's going to be difficult to carry more of it, but let's assume that I'm mobile and I've got a vehicle and whatnot. I think if I'm restricted to one gun, it's a shotgun, because a shotgun is multiple guns, given the fact that it can shoot multiple types of bullets.
Yep, as far as survival, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. What about you, Dave?
I'm with Trevor in every aspect, because my AR is currently with the CFO's hands. The zombies may come before I get this.
You got an AR coming?
I do.
Back this bus
back
up. We're not even going to run anybody over. Just back it up.
So, see, it's after 10 o'clock, so you've been here since about 5:30, and you waited till now to tell me.
Yeah.
Thanks, friend.
Little wake-up call.
Yeah. What are you getting?
You're gonna take back everything you said about 1911?
Yeah. He just
redeemed myself.
David,
I got a trigger job tonight.
Is the only one to get back on the Christmas card list.
Oh, where's the first?
So, which one?
14.5 MEA.
From SFRC?
No. It's used, about 150 rounds through. I will be the third owner.
I don't know if I like the sound of that.
Great pictures. Guns in good shape.
Is it one of the newer ones, or one of like the first gens like him, or?
No, it's a newer one.
Yeah?
About a year and a half old.
Oh, okay.
So. Should be alright.
I've seen their new handguard, eh?
Yeah? How's it look?
It looks cool. They've got holes all along the side now where there are no holes.
Yeah.
There's holes there now too.
So it should be lighter?
And the one clamp. And that's always been my complaint. The weight in the NEA comes from that bloody handguard.
Yeah, the handguard's too heavy. See, if I had an NEA, which I, well, maybe one day, I'd change a handguard. Just flat out.
But I like the handguard. It's heavy, but...
I really like the handguard. I like the look of it. I like everything about it.
It's heavy.
But it is heavy.
Yeah, but like I said, you can smack a rhino in the face with it and knock him stiff. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You know, not that...
Okay, that's a new one, but...
Yeah, it's a new one. Yeah, knock him stiff. Interesting. So...
Knock the Horner off his facade.
All right, so you're sticking with a shotgun then?
For now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so once your NEA comes in, perhaps, then you would switch to an AR?
I love a rifle.
Yeah.
I enjoy a rifle. I'm proficient with a rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really are a rifle guy. I mean...
I enjoy my...
You really haven't done a whole lot of shotgunning.
No, I haven't.
As a three-gun match, rifle is my weak point.
Yeah,
really.
I ran my shotgun much better than I run my rifle.
Right.
And I think it's the iron sights thing. I probably would run a little bit. I'm just not as smooth and like when I watch you run a rifle, you're very fluid, you're very smooth. You run it.
He's looking at me for the listeners.
Sorry. No, but when you run your rifle, it's like you run your pistol. It looks like a natural extension of your body, and that's as close as I'm going to come to complimenting you.
Yeah, that's it.
When I run
I can
rifle,
die happy.
When I run a rifle, you can tell I'm not 100% comfortable with it. I just seem like a chicken in a football. He doesn't know what to do with it, but he knows he's got it.
A chicken in a football.
You know?
Never seen a chicken in a football. I didn't think they would fit.
Knocked the rhino right off a rhino. Wow. You're really pulling analogies out of your nightlife. These are new ones. This must be a Northern Shore thing. I don't know. No.
For why you kick my dog and call it, never mind. So, anyway. Yeah. So, you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, we turn our cell phones off whenever we do our...
Yeah, we turn our cell phones off.
Yeah, everybody pulls out their cell phones. I would choose a handgun. I would take my SR9 probably. Because it's concealable. Because I would probably end up out in public. I would be moving around and I would want to have something on hand. I'm not an expert with it. I'm not great with it, but I'm fairly good with a handgun. And in the house, in the car, or out in public, I'd be armed. And not anybody would know it unless they had to. I think the concealability of a handgun and just the very fact that I have that security rate on my person all the time, that's what I'd go with. And everybody's texting, so there's no feedback.
No,
so.
I'm not texting. I'm reading another person that's coming to our match. So.
Oh, that's fun, too.
I agree with you. This is the thing. I agree with all of you, and they all have very good application. But they're all being applied to different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mine is being to apply it to a country setting,
yeah,
where it's defense and there's no issue with carrying a long gun around.
Right.
And Trevor's talking about survival, hunting.
Yep. Shotgun defense as well. Yeah.
Everything else. You're talking about populated area, a lot of moving around, travel, you know, always having that firearm on you. And, you know, you've got a lot of situations. You're not going to be, Matthew, you're not going to be hunting with your pistol, probably.
I could.
You could, but...
I wouldn't be.
The practical application is not like a shotgun.
No, absolutely not.
And
no.
For me, with the rifle, it's not going to be as easy a thing to pull in out of the car and go into the grocery store if you do go to town. And,
sure, but you don't generally do that anyway. You have all your food at home. You're proficient. I don't. I bring, you know, I go grocery shopping and in a situation where there's, you know, less law around and I have to go to town to get supplies or I have to go to your house to get supplies, I want my gun with me.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right. Well, let's change gears slightly. And, you're heading out in the wilderness with, some friends for a nice, you know, excursion out in the woods and you can just bring one gun with you because it's, you know, kind of, cramp the Jeep that you're taking, I guess. So what gun do you bring with you out in the woods for sort of a survival situation? Remember, this is, let's say that you're going on a extended hunt, maybe? I guess you'd bring your hunting rifle. I guess that's kind of silly. Let's say...
You're going on a canoe trip.
Yeah, let's say you're going on a canoe trip.
The practicality of carrying a shotgun or a rifle, a long gun in that situation, isn't the greatest.
It's not, but now remember, we are in Canada, and let's assume that the laws are all still in place, so that means restricted firearms are out. Right. So what non-restricted firearm would you carry with you in sort of a situation where you could end up in a survival situation, but you're kind of just going on a canoe trip, and for all, you know, you think everything's going to be okay, but you never know.
Well, I know what Matthew's going to pick.
So do I, but what are you going to pick?
Shotgun.
You're going to pick a shotgun?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now, what shotgun? Like, let's get specific here. And well, why?
Out of the shotguns I have, obviously, it'll have to be my KSG.
Okay.
I don't have anything else that's practical for that.
Your goose gun just too big.
A little bit long. Yeah.
Now, if you could pick any shotgun, is there one that you would maybe tailor fit for a trip like this? Maybe something short-barreled from Delask, maybe? No? Oh,
okay. No, I think I'm good.
Yeah?
Okay. I like some of the other, like, that one that David was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of short barrel, very natural fit. I really like it.
Points very well.
It's not that heavy. It's a little heavier, but it's not that heavy.
Right.
But I'm still going to go with that KSG, even though it's not as natural manual of arms. It's still pretty incredibly practical.
It's very compact, too.
So compact.
Which means you carry a lot of ammo with it, and it's not big. You can pack it away in the canoe and not worry about it taking up too much space.
Throw it on my back. It doesn't stick out, you know, above your shoulder or behind your hip and go through the brush with it. It's not catching on stuff. That's why I bird hunt now with, because it's...
It's easier to go through the woods with. I've been saying that ever since I've started podcasting, and I've been saying it even since before then, is I love short-barreled shotguns for hunting in the woods, because the shorter the barrel, the less hung up they get on branches and stuff. Yep. And with just a little bit more practice, you can still take birds out of the air, no problem.
I've never had any problem.
Neither have I. Trevor, what about you? What would you take in a trip like this?
The one that keeps coming back to me is a Kel-Tec Sub 2000 chambered in 40 cal.
Okay.
Fold that puppy in half, throw it in a backpack, couple of 10-round pistol mags, 40 caliber hollow points.
Yeah. You know? That would be a great survival gun. I mean, it's small, powerful enough.
Yeah, got an 18.5-inch barrel.
So it's non-restricted, yeah?
I'm sure that those 40 caliber bullets coming out of an 18.5-inch barrel...
They're going a little faster, I would say.
Humdinger, yeah. So, yeah, great survival gun. You could take out a whitetail.
Oh, yeah.
For a joke, right?
Yeah. For a joke, or maybe for supper, you know. Just saying. What about you, Dave?
Given a choice in that situation, I would have to go with an over-under.
Now, can I hold up? Hold you up there real quick?
Sure.
Owen gave us, I kind of asked Owen for two. Trevor gave us an answer for a gun he doesn't own. What would you pick out of your current inventory? Do we have to come back? We can come back to you if we have to. Yeah, we'll have to come back to him. It's taking too long. So, David, so an over-under shotgun.
I don't own an over-under.
Okay, well, let's start with your ideal, and then we'll go back to what you own.
That would be my ideal for hunting and practical close-quarter situations. Shotgun, you have a rifle for hunting. If there was a scenario...
Oh, you mean like a combination?
Yeah.
Over-under, so like a rifle barrel on top, shotgun barrel underneath. Oh, I used to have one of those. Now, what calibers would you pick?
I would go with a 223 12-gauge.
Yep.
Ideal situation.
Yeah, that'd be really
hunting
cool.
Hunting necessity and close quarters.
Yeah, survival style. I mean, yeah, you can still use that for... Now, out of your current inventory, what would you pick?
It would have to be the shotgun.
Yeah, the one you just got, the Stevens, whatchamacallit there?
Very easily maneuvered.
Yeah.
Canoeing, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Excursion in the woods, maneuverable. And like Trevor mentioned earlier... whole host of ammunition for
it. Absolutely.
For different situations. Easily carried.
Yeah. Trevor, have you figured out what you'd...
Yeah, I guess I'll go shotgun too.
Yeah.
I was almost kind of leaning towards my 597 because it's so lightweight. It's got a collapsible stock on it now.
That's a semi-auto 22 that looks like an AR for those of the listeners who don't know.
The XCR is compact when folded up as well, but heavy. You know?
Heavy, yeah.
Yeah, so if I had to pick one of the guns that I currently have, my 30-30, too, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, if you weren't scared of getting it dinged up, your 30-30 would be a fantastic woods gun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lightweight carbine.
Kind of is, yeah. Can anybody guess what I'd take?
Yeah, $795.
Yeah, out of my current inventory, I would. I would absolutely take my my semi-auto 22. Basically because I can carry a boatload of ammo for it.
A boatload, bro.
you picked that up.
See what you did there.
and it's not nearly as versatile as a 12-gauge, but it weighs half the amount.
A 22 is not nearly...
Not nearly.
As versatile as 12-gauge.
Not even close. But that being said, I did stumble across a dead moose out in the woods a couple of weeks ago.
Like,
I kind of almost tripped over it. It was cleaned out. It was done. I mean, there was it had clearly been somebody's kill site from their hunting trip. But the most of the skeleton was still there, and the skull was there. And I was like, that's interesting. So I propped the skull up and proceeded to shoot a 22 slug clear through both sides of the moose skull. So in a survival situation, if I could get close enough to a moose or a deer, it's not ideal. I'm not saying it's ideal, but if I had to, I would.
Do me a favor. Find a a farmer who needs to have some beef. Yeah. And I want you to walk up to the bull and shoot him between the eyes with your .22, and then get back to me.
They drop dead instantly.
That's all my dad has ever used.
With a .22.
Yeah.
.22.
Point blank in between the bull's eyes. Right
blank or at 15 yards.
Really?
.22s are way more powerful than you think, Trev.
Got that right.
Run up and slit his throat. Is that too graphic?
Why would you slit the throat of something that's heart has stopped pumping? That is a myth.
No,
you,
the heart isn't stopped. It's still pumping.
That's right. You want to pump that blood out.
Yeah.
Bleed the animal.
Anyway, yeah. Like I said, it's not ideal. I don't recommend it. But if it was down to, you know, I see a moose, I've got a .22, I wouldn't hesitate killing it. Or shooting it, and I know I can shoot my rifle well enough to make an easy headshot on a moose.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you shoot that rifle.
So, now, that's what I currently own. And that being said, like I said, I carry a boatload of ammo, and that's perfect for small game, and it's perfect for just, if I'm on a canoe trip, maybe I just want to stop and plink for a while. I can do that with a .22 without annoying anybody else who's out in the woods, you know, as long as I'm in an area where I'm allowed to shoot.
You'd annoy all the people that were on the canoe trip with you.
I might.
Didn't want to stop.
I might, but, you know.
May head for sure.
Last time I went canoeing, there were otters all over the place.
Yeah.
What's the status on otters?
Otters?
You can trap them for fur.
They're fur bearing, right?
Yeah, they're fur bearing. Now, an ideal gun I used to own, a Savage.
Muskrat?
Muskrat?
Also fur bearing.
Yeah, the fur bearing.
I was going to say probably not otters, muskrat.
No, these were otters.
You sure?
Mm hmm. Okay. And the rest of the
yeah.
I don't know.
Doing the sliding thing and their little otter hands. Coop.
You otter shut up. So you otter do.
This is utterly fantastic.
Savage 24. I used to own one. It's a. It was a 22 over a 20 gauge. That would have been an ideal. That was an ideal small game. It was the C model, which was about half the weight of yours. Yeah. 20-inch barrel. I had the barrel choked.
Mine's the V model.
The V model, which weighs about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's heavy. This thing was very light. I really regret selling it. It was a fantastic rifle / shotgun. But anything like that, I think ideally it would be a 22 Magnum over 20 gauge or 22 over 410. Why 410? You can carry a lot more ammo. 20 gauge, not a whole lot more than 12, but some. But that's what I'd pick. That or what I mentioned
and
earlier.
410 is also very versatile. You can get it in buckshot. You can get it in slug.
Sure. Just as powerful as a 44. 44 special, not 44 Magnum. So, yeah. So there's, without rule of law and then survival. Is there any other sort of situations you guys want to talk about for what you'd pick for firearms?
I always did say my one and only bug out gun, if I had to go and could only take one gun and the world was coming to an end, would be my CZ-858.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's gone now, but
that would have been a fantastic. I mean, if the world's ending and there's no more mag limit laws, you can drill out those rivets You've got 30-round mags. They're cheap. You get crates of ammo for cheap.
This is it. I had 7 mags and 4,000 rounds.
Yeah. That would have been nice. So yeah, your one ultimate gun then. So that would have been Trevor's with a CZ. What would you pick for your one ultimate gun, Owen? He's tapping his NEA. Yeah. What about you, Dave? One ultimate gun, one gun to rule them all. What would you pick?
My 308. Yeah. It's a bolt gun. Used to the rifle.
Yeah. Yeah, I
maybe not the ultimate gun, but it's what I have.
Yeah. Out of what you've currently got, well, I guess Trevor sort of. He used to own it, so I guess that counts.
Mm.
I'd pick my Lee Enfield. It's it's sporterized with the synthetic stock and a shorter barrel, but 3-03, 308, very similar trajectories, ballistic profiles, and you know, you can load it fast, you can shoot it fast. That'd be my one gun. If I could just grab one and go, it'll do just about anything I need it to do.
Mm. Yeah, the big thing I've always hated about something like an AR or anything that takes a box magazine is so hard to load on the fly.
Yeah.
I always said in the past, before I had this and was into handguns, that my 30-30 was my go-to gun.
Yeah, you load through the gate, right? You don't have to worry about mags.
You can shoot a couple, load a couple, shoot a couple, load a couple. can always pop up.
Killing your filling, yep.
Same with the shotgun.
Yep.
Shoot a couple, load a couple.
Yep.
And,
well, it's the same with the Lee Enfield. You load them through the top with stripper clips.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
I was looking for stripper clips in Calgary at the gun show for John Allen. I should have been looking for some for you, too.
Should have been. You didn't find any for him, didn't find any for me, so that's okay.
No, I did find some, but...
Oh.
They were running $5 and $6 a clip.
Yeah.
So, wow.
That's a little expensive, yeah. I think. I don't know. I'm not up to date on all of the... on all the prices, but... Mm. Well, we're coming up on about 54 minutes, so
okay,
why don't we read this email that we got? We got it from Dave, and he says, please don't use my last name, too easy to be tracked down by the black helicopters. So, Dave, he writes, hey guys, caught episode 9 today regarding the Wikipedia edits. I made a change that was quickly rejected, so I tried again with a citation. See the attached screen cap. I bet the lefties will change it back, but I'll keep putting it up there too. So he writes, Canada is often characterized by being very progressive, blah, 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 and then goes on to say, and includes responsible firearms ownership by 2 million residents, and he has a citation there. So that's pretty cool. So somebody has joined the movement, I get.
Wikipedia movement?
The Wikipedia movement. So we're hoping to help change what Wikipedia says about gun owners to keep it not only truthful, but on our side, and hopefully help change the minds of people who are on the fence. Yeah, popular thought. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Not on our side, on the side of truth.
On the side of truth and freedom.
That is our side.
That is our side, yeah. Yeah.
That's why we're on that side.
Why do you think it's called the right? We're on the right because it is right.
Right.
If you're on the left, well, I'm sorry.
You're on the wrong.
and hopefully you will soon have left.
Oh, wow. Just like us on this show.
Leave the left and come to the right. We have cookies.
Cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up then.
All right.
Did you thank him for the email?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dave, for the email.
Yes.
Thank you for your extra hard work on Wikipedia, too.
As well, yeah.
Yeah.
And thank all of you for listening. And be sure to check out all the great content on the Canadian Reload Radio Network, as well as some of our favorite shows from the South. If you check out Politics and Guns, for the love of God, don't forget there's a guy in there by the name of Styx. Apparently I forgot his name last week.
Oh!
Even though I said Paul, Toby, Raquel, Brian, and all the great folks on the show.
You didn't say Styx.
I didn't say Styx.
No. Oh.
And who knew he was sensitive like that?
Well, apparently he did. And you didn't.
Sand in the panties, I guess. I don't know.
Ouch.
Can you say that on a podcast?
You just did.
All right, cool.
I don't know if I have to edit that one or not, but...
I'm not sure. But,
probably won't.
And also, folks, please remember that without your support, the Canadian Shooting Sports Association and the National Firearms Association would have a heck of a lot harder job than they already have. So show them some love. Join one or both of the associations and do your part to help maintain our firearm freedoms here in Canada.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's why I said it.
That's why I didn't. All right, well, Dave, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Hope to see you on the Warriors Ethos sometimes.
Very soon.
I hope so. And, that's for the rest of you guys. I guess we'll see you all next week.
And be sure to take someone shooting.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.